All or nothing. It's no wonder that the early church was accused of cannibalism and bizarre pagan rituals. Jesus' words are hard to swallow. And the images that they invoke turn the stomach because he says, to eat of my body and drink of my blood. He knows it, of course, and the shock value is apparently intentional. Jesus turns to his complaining, grumbling, and hesitant disciples and points to the reality of God. To paraphrase verse 62, if you were to see me as I was before I became to you, would that make this any easier to swallow? In other words, what's going on here, guys? What's happening? Have you been with me all this time and you don't quite get it yet? There's two things today that we're going to try to bring about. Faith is always involved in following Jesus, and commitment to Christ is all or nothing. Faith is always involved when following Jesus. What you believe matters. The Eucharist, Holy Communion, Lord's Supper, it's a means of grace that reminds you and I of the commitment, the sacrifice, and the love that was expressed to us in Christ's incarnation. The birth, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ are all symbolized in the observance of Holy Communion. The bread and the cup become the symbols of that incarnation. That broken bread and the poured juice are the broken body and the spilled blood of our Savior Jesus. We consume the elements and we take in God's love, and then we live out Christ's love through our discipleship. We rise to serve and we live as faithful people in the name of the risen Christ. We celebrate on Easter Sunday morning that Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen. We celebrate that. Many, many years ago, at a former church, I was visiting with a cancer patient whose diagnosis was very recent and very grim. She appeared to be handling her situation with reason and composure. And one day, as I was carrying communion around, of course, I stopped at her house and I offered her the sacrament, and she refused. And her response was a little shocking, and she said, "Those things are just things of the church. They're just religious trappings. I've got no need for them." Certainly not everyone views the symbols and sacraments of faith with the same depth of meaning. I was shocked. I felt pity. I felt sadness, and I felt confusion for this lady who seemed oblivious to the grace that was conveyed to her through the acts of faith and discipline. You see, we need spiritual disciplines in our lives to remind us of who we are and whose we are. We need them to give birth to a deeper faith, greater insight, daily devotion, and growing commitment. You see, faith is always involved in following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer, scriptural study, devotion, reading each day, worship, baptism, the Lord's Supper, foot washing, confession, meditation, all of these can be means of growing in our pursuit of the Christian way. They are something that help us along the way. We have to be intentional about serving God. Commitment to the Christ is all or nothing. We got to do it all the way or none at all. There's no halfway discipleship. You cannot sort of follow Jesus any more than you can be just a little bit pregnant. Someone told me that one time. I said something at church. I said, "Are you expecting?" She said, "I'm a little bit pregnant." Well, you're going to be a whole lot before long. We say things like that, but we just think about it. Faith is a reality, and belief is either or. Either you do believe or you don't believe. The spectrum of understanding along with one's belief may reside can be quite diverse. There is a reason. This is the reason in the world that we live in, that we use terms like conservative and liberal. Still, Christian faith involves the basic understanding of acceptance of God's love as revealed through Christ Jesus. One either accepts that gift of love or one rejects it. There's no halfway grasping or sort of holding on. There's all kinds of things that we see and we read and we hear, but there's no halfway. There's no sort of holding on. We either are or we aren't. A class of sixth graders were exploring the Christian faith as they moved towards their time of profession of faith in Christ Jesus. And individually, each and every one of them was given the opportunity of taking the time to listen and also of being able to come and talk with me and deciding whether or not they would make their confession of faith before the congregation. Each and every year when we have a confirmation class, they go through the lessons, they go through the weeks that we're together, and then at the end of it, they get to talk to me, and they get to express their faith. They get to share what, and some of them are ready. I've never had but one in a long, long time that didn't be confirmed, and he did later. But there was this one young man with tears in his eyes, and he said that he was not ready. He said that he did not believe. And I asked him what was holding him back. And he said that he had doubts, that he did not understand the mystery in Christ. And I thought, wow, who does? I realized then that this young man had a much deeper understanding than did any of the others in his confirmation class. Because he was really looking, he was searching, he was trying to figure it all out. He took it seriously and sacredly. His doubt revealed a very deep and exploring faith that refused to be satisfied with just pat answers or easy explanations. We visited again over the course of many, many weeks, and he was later confirmed in his faith as a disciple of Jesus Christ. He understood the importance of commitment. He wanted to profess his faith when he felt that he could give it his all. None of us on this earth ever achieve Christian perfection, but we are on our journey to perfection. We never receive it along the way. We simply move toward it. It's something that we move toward. And whenever we become perfect is when we are at home with our Lord and Savior. Being followers of Jesus Christ means that we are works in progress. We are doubters and believers together. We have good days and we have bad days. Our discipline can be spotty and our faith even erratic at times. Because being a Christian means that we have discovered the love of God through Christ Jesus, and that we choose to grow more like the one who gave his life for us all. When I first started this morning, I told you about a lady who refused to take communion. And it kind of shocked me. It kind of scared me a little bit. That lady's name was Sue Dawson. Sue Dawson was a young mother in her early 40s. She had just turned 41, I believe. She was a school teacher. Her two sons, her oldest son Nick was in my youth group, and her younger son Chris was coming up along the way. I went and saw Sue just every day, for she lived just right down the road from the church. And I shared with her and I listened to her. Sue had been given a very, very bad diagnosis, and it was a tough one. She had cancer, And cancer was kind of like everywhere. It had already metastasized and it had gone all over her body. And there was not a whole lot could be done. They did everything they could. And she was the one who said, "I don't have time for those things. I don't need them because they're just religious trappings." Well, Sue and I talked a lot over those days. I knew she was sick. She would have people coming and going out of her house, checking on her, nurses, doctors, this thing, that thing, all kinds of folks coming and going. Her doctor even came to her house. So it was pretty tough. Those days got longer, and then they also got shorter. People were staying around the clock. But during that time, Sue, who had grown up in the Episcopal Church, who really had a lot of faith in an establishment instead of in her heart, gave her heart to the Lord one day while I was visiting with her. And I brought communion to her, and I served her, and she gladly took it. And probably one of the hottest days in July that I have ever witnessed, I was on a mission trip in Pennsylvania and up in Nedja, New York. We were on our way back home, and I got a phone call to let me know that she had died. And as I got home and I went, when I got back with that load of people that day and the kids and all, and we unloaded and I went on down the road to their house. And there was Steve, her husband, and Nick and Christopher. And all you can do is just hug somebody. Sometimes all you can do is just be there. Sometimes all you can do is say nothing. It's probably the best thing in the world that you can do. Sue did all. She finally gave her all to the Lord. And I knew that day whenever I talked to the one who called me to let me know what had happened, I said, "Well, she is at peace and she is at home. She made that commitment. She made that choice. She shared. And today she's at home with her Lord and Savior." And then in a few days we were at Lafayette Memorial Park in Fayetteville, standing in the cemetery, having her memorial service. And I always laugh because Sue was one of these people that was so, so smart. She was so, so sweet and so kind. She was an amazing school teacher, amazing wife and mother. She was a good lady who lost her battle quite early. But she gave all. She gave all. And she had left her children. She left those boys. She wrote them things and she left them. She knew exactly what was happening. She was told how dire it was from the beginning. And there was nothing that could be done. But I watched her, even in the midst of her saying she was not a Christian, do some most amazing Christian things. In sharing her life and sharing her love with her sons, who she knew she would not be here to see graduate and get married. They both graduated. They both graduated from college. And one of them is married and one's engaged to get married. And I saw Chris just a little while ago, just not very long ago, and he said, "Miss Melinda," he said, "I'll never forget you." He said, "And I want you to know that I want you to come to my wedding." I said, "Well, if it's where I can, son, I will be there." He said, "I did not know what was happening when my mama was so sick." He said, "But I will never forget that you were there." And that's where I get the title of this from today. He said, "Because you were always there. So it was all or nothing. Be cognizant of what you do for others, of where you are, what you're doing, how you're serving. Because people are watching. People are understanding. Children are watching how you serve and how you be, serving the Lord and all that can come and go along its way. Serve Him with gladness. Serve Him with understanding. Serve Him with confusion sometimes. Serve Him when you don't know what to say, when you don't know what to do, but you're just there. So many times it's just because you're there, because you have a smile on your face and a hug for someone around you. Just let them know you love them and let them know you care for them. It's all or nothing, because faith always involves following Christ. And it also is all or nothing. Let us pray.